The last few shurim we started Simon Reish Ein Hey, which is the topic of Dvorim Asurim Lasois La'or Aneir B'Shabbos. It's a Takonas Chachamim. Chachamim were very concerned that a person who is near a candle, that he may, if he's busy reading or learning or doing something which needs concentration, he may forget himself and be mutter, he may tilt the oil to the wicks and therefore be over on Issa D'Raisa of creating a flame on Shabbos, of improving a flame on Shabbos, which is an Issa Torah. Chum are very concerned about that. And therefore they established a Gzeira D'Rabbonon, which is called Shemoyata. Perhaps he will tilt. And that is really the beginning of the Sif, which tells us that a person is not allowed to read La'or Aneir, a person is not allowed to learn near a candle. And it's not only learning, but in fact, the second example, which is the first example Shulchan Aruch names, is a person is not allowed to be busy with leather. There used to be all kinds of insects in leather garment, in fur, and to try to take them out in front of the candlelight. That's also because you may, if this starts to flicker, the candle is not particularly strong. Yes, yeah, so it looks like it's not. Were you concerned about Boira or Natilas Neshama? No, so obviously it's not. It's interesting, but obviously not. Either it's not dense enough that it's, there's no Boira. Also, if you're careful not to kill it, there's a shine anyway about lice. Yeah, so either way, Lemaisa, there's a Gzer of Shemayate. It's a fascinating halacha. The Shulchan Aruch makes a point and says, I've already told you that it's a low plug, even if it's very, very high up. The candle is very high up. If it's 10 amas high, makes no difference. Chomim still asad it. And the Shulchan Aruch continues. Machloekes, but Shulchan Aruch paskins that wax is also awesome. And the reason for wax being also is because you may also, wax is also potentially you could tilt and you could make it into you may want to improve the flame, and therefore by wax also the Issa of Shemayate. Yeah. Yeah. If you're using it.
But you can't ever do this on Shabbos, anything which requires, because there's the candle lighting you up.
Right, so there's more to be said about this, but if you have sufficient light, that even without that light, you're going to end up, if without the light also you're going to end up, you're going to be okay without that light as well, so chomer we're not gozer. But it leads us to the next shaila, which is probably the shaila that you mean to ask, is about electric light. And I did mention it, is about electric light. So in particular, I was particularly concerned about the common contemporary switches, which you can increase and decrease the light. And the shaila there is that included as well in the gzeira of Shemayate or not. Because, and that's very much based on the understanding, where Shulchan Aruch makes a point of stressing and emphasizing that there's a loy pluk chachamim established the Issa anyway. Chachamim established loy pluk chachamim, like we find that whether the gzeira 10 amas, you're not going to start climbing up 10 amas. But nevertheless, chachamim still made the Issa d'rabbanon, so much so that Mishtabur is all busy, as we discussed in, I don't know if it's Wednesday or Thursday, share that Mishtabur is even busy discussing what happens if it's locked up. If you've got a kind of, you have a candle, which is an oil candle, and it's locked up in a certain box, a glass box, and there's a key to access it. Now, if you don't have the key to that, if you have the key, obviously it's awesome, d'rabbanon, shemayate, you don't have to learn that. But what if you don't have the key? If your friend has got a key, or somebody else has got a key, are you then allowed to learn or not? Lemaisa in Mishnebura is matir, but I'm just using it as an example to show, because over there it's physically impossible to access, so because you need the key. And therefore, Mishnebura is matir just about. But we find a bit that Chachamim made a loy plug, exer, and as we find in countless places in Shas, Chachamim made establish an Issa, and that's it. So the question is, and that's even with regards to wax, also Shulchan Aruch paskens. What about electric lights? They can be dimmed. They can increase and decrease in strength. What is the halacha there? So I did in the shiur speak about the Chazon Ish, who was a little bit concerned. Shlom Zalman is a svara to be matir, but the Maaseh, looking at it again and speaking to a dayan about this, it comes out that the Mishnah Berurah is very, very easy to be, according to Mishnah Berurah, it's very easy to be matir. What are your thoughts, Rabbi Yisai? Why should it be mutter? If you've got a light, why are we not choshe that, you know, you're going to end up making, like we find, that by oil, wax, chachamim were concerned, you're going to start tilting the light and making it, you mean, sederaisa, one, it's also, you know, to increase the light is also avora, maybe with rabbonim, maybe with deraisa, but to increase the light is also so why are we not concerned? Yeah.
It's not, people are not always known
to
just be twiddling with the
switch. Yeah, 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 okay.
I'd say that.
I think some people do.
So the actual flame is inconsistent.
Really. Very, very good. That's Mishneh Berurah's point, exactly. Mishneh Berurah in the end of Sefkot and Dalet, and I took me a few times to mamash internalize and understand what he says, and I thank Dan Eckstein for pointing it out to me. He says, Mishneh Berurah over there says in the first wide line, he says that, I'm reading the last narrow line. Do you know what starin lights are? Because I don't. Starin lights. I don't know if it's gas. I don't know what the case is Mishneh Berurah talks about. I don't know. He's talking about the starin lights, the good lights. You're allowed to read in front of those starin lights. I don't know what they are. I don't know if this is Polish or I don't know which language it is even. Yiddish, I don't know. There is no gzerv shemayate. Why by those starring lights? The gzerv doesn't apply. Only, the gzerv was only established by candles, which occasionally, on weekday, you will, as we say in Yiddish, you'll patchka with it. You'll play around with it. You'll fiddle with it. Patchka is the Yiddish word for it. You'll fiddle with it in order to make it kadesh yad legaf, in order to make the light stronger. However, with starin lights, your duad is well known. You will never need to fiddle with it. They are, as Rabbi Kagan's words are, that's the perfect words, they are consistent. There is no need to start fiddling around with those lights. They are consistent. It's a very clear light. You won't need to fiddle around with it and play around with it. Consequently, it seems that it is, according to Mishneh Berurah, the Gzera doesn't apply at all without electric knobs either, because it's consistent. That means that there won't necessarily be something that it doesn't suddenly flicker like we know about the Chanukah candle. We just had Chanukah, we remember how the oil candle sometimes just flicker, and then you can hear that somebody's going, I need to save the light, or I need to improve the light, I need to increase it. You'll fiddle around with it. But electric light is generally consistent, and therefore the Gzera doesn't apply, I believe, according to Mishneh Berurah, yeah. They do flicker, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Very good. Yeah. That's a good question. If those fluorescent lights, that's a very good shaila, I don't know the answer. Because there, the gzera would maybe make sense. Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I don't know the answer. Maybe you'd want to say, according to that Mishneh Berurah, the fluorescent light which comes to the end of the life, would be maybe also al shemayata. I can hear that. It's very interesting.
And what might make it more complicated is if you've got half a dozen tubes all on the same switch. And yeah. One of them is flickering.
Then
you just can't be in the same room because it is just so annoying.
It's very annoying. It's very, very annoying, yeah.
But you're either going to switch all six of them off or all six of them on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mamash hear that. It's an interesting shaila. I hear that. I appreciate the shaila. Yeah. Very good. We'll get to that. Actually, I wonder if it, I don't remember if we actually learned it or not. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So that's what I'm sure we're going to speak about that now. I do want to just, before I forget, I want to mention, I know it's not related to Simon Reish Ein Hei, but I just saw something today, just a couple of hours ago, I saw something, I just wanted to share it with you. It's regarding an earlier Simon, just we learned a week ago, about the Kiddush, Al Echaz Kiddush, and I just saw that, in terms of the size of the Becha, I just saw that Rav Dessler's Kois didn't have a Chazanish Shir. And Rav Dessler is known to have had many, many Chumras, and he was many chumras of Tesla to a bashkiach in Ponovich Yeshiva, before that in Meir Yeshiva, before that in England. He had many chumras, but the kois that he had was what didn't hold the Chazanish Shir, was only Reb Chaim Nosh Shir. So it's a Shulchan Shir, not the greatest Shir. And that's even Friday night, and we learned that there is, according to Mishneh Berurah, it would make sense to be Machmir to have a big Shir on Friday night, at least. So what's pshat? And more interesting even is that as soon as his Rebbetzin was Nifter, he married a second time later on, but when his Rebbetzin was Nifter, when he was an old Yid already, he changed his Becher, and that's when he started using a Becher, which actually did hold Chazanish Shir. And when he was asked by his children, why did you change your minhag? What's going on over here? If it was good enough until now, why are you going on for Chazon Ish? Now, so he said that this becher that he had all the years, it's a gift that he received from his wife, and from his shver, in fact. And it was very precious to his Rebbetzin to use that becher. The becher that he had from his shver, from his Rebbetzin. He was as a chosni got this becher. And that's for all those years. He was fully aware that it didn't hold the Chazon Ish's shir. But he was choshev to his Rebbetzin, he was choshev to his shver. And therefore he said the chumra is very nice, Chazon Ish's chumra, but the chumra of hurting somebody's feeling is much, much worse. And he said therefore he didn't want to change the becher, and he was quite happy with it. But as soon as Rebbetzin was nifta, which was many years after his shver was nifta, and then he decided, okay, fine. So now he's going to go for Chazon Ish Shir. I think it's interesting. It puts chumras in perspective. As always, we need to know when to be machmer, when is something meikar din, when is a chumra. And me lonu godel of Dessler was a machmer, but nevertheless he understood when is room for chumras and when not. Having said that, I just saw it today, so I thought it's worth sharing. We're up to Seif Dalet. And actually, Seif Gimel, I don't know if we learned Seif Gimel or not, please correct me if we didn't, but that's anyway a very certain thing to see. Page 108, we're learning of Im Yesh Acha Imo, if there's another person with him, even if that person is not but there's another person present in the room, and he says, Ten keep a watchful eye on me, that I should not tilt the candle, muta, it's muta. And similarly, if he tells his wife, keep an eye on me, that I shouldn't tilt, that works. So, this is the halacha of a shoima, a guard. You can appoint somebody to be a shoima on you, to watch on you, that if you're learning with a candle that normally you should be also to learn with, but you're appointing somebody, keep an eye on me, that does a trick. That's the, one of the makaras that we found of a shoima, a guard. The guard doesn't necessarily need to have a stick. It doesn't necessarily need to have handcuffs. But somebody who keeps attention on you, keeps a watch on you, that works as a shoima, and that will be okay. Which is very interesting, actually, because in actual fact, what's the chiddush of it? What's the chiddush?
The guard might also.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think there's another practical issue about it. Because how long does it take to be matter? It's a second, right? You're learning, again, in picture yourself. You're learning, you've got a sefer, you're learning on the table. Next to you, there's a candle, and it starts to flicker. It takes a second for you to start fiddling with it. And the other person, it doesn't say that shoima has to be on your lap, or has to be right next to you. You can be like, and by the time, it's too late. Pardon? Exactly. It doesn't say you have to hold the hand, you have to put handcuffs. So what I see from that, and I may be wrong, but I think that the reason why shoima works. No, what do you think about it? No, it's interesting, no? It's I think that more than anything else, it's a person himself. He's got certain self awareness. When you know somebody like Brick Brother is watching you, kind of feeling. You know somebody's watching you, so you're going to be more careful. Do you know what I mean? That you know that somebody's. So that puts somebody in.
Isn't it good enough that just family?
Yes, so they're based, that's fine. The answer is yes. But they need to be aware of it. The fact that the family being shoimim, that's fine. But they need to know that there is of Yerushalayim, and they need to be aware of it. So, but them being around, they are good shoimim. And that leads us to Sif Hey. Sif Dalet. Yeah.
I thought the Mishnah said the wife wasn't a good
shoimim. Yeah. Lemaisa with Paschal, that it is. Ishta is fine. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Lemaisa with Paschal, wife is good. Seif Dalet tells us a very interesting halacha as well, which is also based on the Gemara you're referring to. Adam Choshev she'en darkoi b'choil lahatois. Adam Choshev, an important man, she'en darkoi b'choil lahatois, who on weekdays he wouldn't start tilting the oil. He's a Choshev, a man. He's a bit more on a privileged status. He wouldn't start fiddling with oil and with dirty wicks. He doesn't do that kind of thing because he's got people doing it for him. It's a bit more Choshev. He's not that kind of person. He's allowed to. He doesn't need a shoima. He can learn in front of a neir. He can do it because of Adam Choshev. Well, obviously the reason is because if, as Mishnah Berurah explains, in Seif Katan Yud Beis, that perish shebo, sifkot yud beis, shein darkoi, perish shebo, shein darkoi, af beis alimut. Even when he learns, he's not going to tell, he never does. He never touches the candle, he never touches the light, he never touches it. He never, there's always other people doing it for him. So a person like that, he wouldn't even know how to. He doesn't, so a person like that is all of choshuv, it doesn't, the gzera doesn't apply to him. An average person is not considered an Odom Choshev. The age gam b'Odom Choshev is darker latus b'chol. There's even sometimes important men who also tilt on weekdays. They sorted their mate on weekdays. So even Odom Choshev is not poshut. But certainly a regular, non-privileged person, surely there is, it applies. Kedisa b'gmorin Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Gemara is talking about the famous Gemara Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Shomeitzim atzmal divrei Torah kehedyot. The Gemara speaks about Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, that he wasn't obviously an Odom Choshev, but he said, he wants to learn Torah Lo'iraneir. And he said, okay, here, I know I'm not going to be over on this. It's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be over on tilting the candle. It's not going to happen to me. It may happen to others. Not going to happen to me. And he said, I do understand and I do appreciate the Issa Drabonon, but it doesn't apply to me. Obviously, it didn't take long. As the Gemara says, that he was nichshel himself, he was b'shogeg, he was tilting the candle, and he was over on exactly what Chachamim said that he shouldn't. It was exactly happened to him. And the Gemara then says that he was devastated, and he wrote in Pinkosoi, Lech Shebon Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, Avi Chator Shmeinu, I'm going to bring a big fat Korban Chatos, I'm going to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this Averi that I've done. And he was devastated about it. And this was an Odom Choshev, and nevertheless, it happened to him. And from here we learn that you don't make yourself into Odom Choshev, don't consider yourself an Odom Choshev. But nevertheless, if somebody is absolutely convinced that he's an Odom Choshev, there is the one applied to him. Mishneh Berurah Lemaisa Paskin, Kosa Prima God, Ve'achshav, nowadays, says the Mishneh Berurah, Ein La'ati Be'Odom Choshev, nobody can consider himself Odom Choshev, Ki Kama Pomim, Ro'inu, Shemetech Iyon, Shoichim, Matim, Moichtim, so nowadays people, when they're emerging, they're learning, and they're busy learning, they forget themselves, and they may, Chas V'Shalom, be Matis, therefore a person can't be Matir. Because Mokim, it's terrible, let's say, Gam Ken, Shoyne, Shal, Shai, V'Chele, V'Nirida, In Hachim, Bezay, says, if the candle is anywhere, a wax candle, which some are Matir, then he says you could maybe if you know that you never touch wax candles, and so he said maybe there's room for leniency. But on the whole, Odom Choshev is it's also right. See if hey, but Madura, imagine you've got a fire, a flame, a big fire. Afilu asor ke'echod en koirin. You've got you're making a kumzitz outside, and there's a fire. Yeah, you know, like big like boima, like you know, big fire. She said, even if it's a big flame, a big fire, then ain't koirin, then you can't learn. He said, even if there's 10 people, don't tell them they're shoyimrim, they protect each other, they guard each other. No. If you've got a big fire, then you can't. Even if there's 10 people. Whatever happens. Because they're far from each other. There's a certain distance. And more than that, there's flames flickering. The flickering flames, sparks all over, because of the size of the flame, and therefore, a person won't even notice if somebody comes nearby and tells, you know, don't stop here, well, watch it, what are you doing over here? He won't even notice because of the sparks flying all over the place. And additionally, there's a distance as well. So when it's a big flame, a big fire, then the Issa applies even when a shomrim won't help. Yeah, so there also, the Chachamim were concerned, he's gonna, you know, like on Erev Pesach, you wanna make the fire a bit stronger. So, you know, even a big, it's taken out a Shema Yata in the common sense, but it's also that you're gonna be over on Havorah and potentially on Kibbui because you are playing with the fire. Now, Sivav moves on with the following halacha, and that is Tinoika Shel Beis Rabon Koirin Eiran Her. Children, Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabon. Children, they are allowed. I don't know what you think about this halacha. Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabon. They are allowed to learn le'oraneir. Why, children? But the halacha doesn't apply to children. Why? Shmipnei she'emas Rabon aleihem, because they fear their teacher, their rebbe, and they are scared of their rebbe, and therefore they won't be over on. They won't be over on. On they're not going to start playing with their candle, because they fear of the Rebbe. They fear the Rebbe. The Mishnah Berurah asks, what happens What happens if the Rebbe's not there? What if the Rebbe's not there? They're still scared. Oh, very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Tezvav. Shemaz Rabban she'ain poishin yad l'shum dover. They wouldn't touch a thing. They wouldn't touch a thing. V'afilu b'chol even on weekdays. They will not touch the candle without the Rebbe's permission. They wouldn't. Elo al pirabon only with this explicit instructions from the Rebbe. V'lo osil atzluyei. They're not going to start tilting the candle. Humash m'estima shulchan aruch. And from the words of shulchan aruch, it appears she serve a karash, but the pasuk is like the opinion of the Rashba. The afilu even ein rabban imohen if the Rebbe went out, surely it's permitted. Tinoikos shel bezabon, children are allowed to read in front of candles. To call shor misyarin shiov rabban, they're always scared that the Rebbe may come any minute. V'lo yatun, they will not touch the flame. Well, the Rabbi if yabe poiskim shcholkin Rashba, but there is cholkim on that, and they said that only when the Rebbe is present, there is a of Shemayat, it doesn't apply. When the Rebbe is present, it doesn't apply. When the Rebbe is out, then the Issa is Mekoyim Oimet. The Issa does apply.
The Gemara also points out that children all have a vested interest in the lamp going out, so they don't have to do any more work.
Oh, I see. I'm not aware of this svara. Yeah.
Sure,
yeah, it could be. I don't know. What I find it interesting, Diuk Abosai, first of all, it definitely teaches us about the respect that children should have or had towards their Rebbe. Having that's for sure something. They wouldn't touch an item without explicit permission from the Rebbe. That's very interesting. And I want to also ask, what about father? What about father? Same thing? Same thing? Same thing, father? It's mavuah here that, I mean, as far as I know, the issa applies when the father is around. Children, in presence of their father, it applies as well. It's only specifically the Rebbe, which teaches us that the respect that a person has towards the Rebbe is greater than towards the father. And that's really what the Shulchan Aruch says, that the Rebbe brings a person to Olam Haba, and the father brings him to Olam Hazeh. So there is an element of greater kibbutz. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, but he's not Rebbe necessarily. So Lemais, I don't know for sure, but I imagine that the Issa. I mean, I didn't see anywhere saying that a father. The Issa,
a father can mocha his kavod to his children. Children can see father in pajamas.
Yeah.
Rebbe not.
Yeah.
So therefore, the boundary between the father and the
very good.
It's a bit less.
So yeah. Actually, automatically the respect of a father is going to be less than respect to a Rebbe. I hear that. Yeah, that's the Metzius is taka like that. The Metzius is, it's definitely true. The reality, in real terms, that is the Metzius. Yeah.
So, for men, when you mentioned this, the matter need to repeat itself. I mean, back there, it's a shoyma.
Because it's not a shoyma aloch of this. It's not a shoyma.
I mean, a fear, a loss aloch, a fear aloch of
this. Yes.
Shoyma.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to mention this
again. No, because I repeated the Shulchan Aruch twice, I think. Yeah. So, I must say also, what I find quite a chiddish, is that it's, why doesn't Loi Plug apply over here? I mean, I just want to speak it out. We found that Loi Plug applies, but we're saying that no, Loi Plug doesn't apply when it's a Talmid by Rebbe. The Loi Plug doesn't apply. It's interesting. It's interesting, it just needs to be pointed out. Good. Now, Sif Zayin, Motelikrois, Bame Madlikin lo Eraneh. The Mishnayas of Bame Madlikin, which is the halachas that we learned in the Mishnayas of Bame Madlikin, what candles are, which oils, which candles may be used for Dlokas Neiras Shel Shabbos, these halachas may be learned lo Eraneh. Why? Sharei umazkir isu Shabbos, because you mentioned the isu Shabbos, ve'echishkach, now you're going to forget. It would be ironic that you're learning the halachas of Shabbat Madlikin, and then at the same time you're matter the light. It's ironic, it doesn't make sense. So therefore a person is allowed to learn that. Rabbi said, what about, so Mishnah Berurah does say in Sifkot Tezayin, Likos Madlikin, Mashm Davke Madlikin, is specifically the Mishnais of Madlikin, with which candles, the Perik in Shabbos of Madlikin, Shisham Nisker in Yonah Yisra Adloka, that's where specifically the Issa of lighting is discussed, Ve'eich Yishkach, and how could he forget Ve'yadlik and light? It's impossible. I will share Ilchus Shabbos loy, but other Ilchus Shabbos not. What about this simon? What about this simon? Can you learn this simon? Can you learn Ilchus Resh Ein Hey in front of a candle? Yeah, the poskim are matir. Poskim is no different than Mamadlikin. If Mamadlikin you're allowed to, you're allowed to as well. So that's actually a very good answer. If a person is once in front of a candle and there's no other, and he wants to learn, there's no shoyim available, his Rebbe is not around, so he should open up Shulchan Aruch, do chazosim, resha, and hey, that's the poshta eitz that would work. I want to just point something out, a machshava that popped in my mind. Tell me what you think. I think that it just teaches us something about learning Torah. Because we are sometimes a little bit detached. I don't know what you feel, and tell me if I'm wrong, but sometimes a certain detachment from what we learn to the way we live. In Halacha, it's one thing, but when we learn Gemara, Shabbos, and Mishnayos, and when we learn, sometimes a slight detachment, we look at it as a learning, and we don't necessarily apply it to our day-to-day lives. I could really imagine somebody learning Bamei Madlikin, Mishnayos Bamei Madlikin, and tilting. I could imagine it. Because nowadays, the way people learn, it's that it's a more academic exercise rather than an application of how to live. Do you hear what I'm saying a little bit? And sometimes I could picture somebody learning about Madlikin, Mishnas and Madlikin, and saying good svara, and why this oil is fine, and why this oil is not good, and simultaneously tilting. I could actually picture it. I could picture it nowadays, 2017, I could picture it, unfortunately. And that brings me to memory, the Igris Chazanish. Heilig Chazanish writes in one of the letters that Ike, one person should remember, Lefemiata Omeil, person always remember when he learns Torah, that in front of he's learning Torah, that when a person learns Torah, should constantly remind himself in front of you, in front of whom are you learning Torah? Not only dalif nimiyata oimeit, but dalif nimiyata omeil. In front of whom do you toil? Who are you learning Torah for? And that appreciation that we're connecting to the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah and apply it in our day-to-day lives, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. That's what I think about it. I don't know what your hagoshes are, but I think that's what we're learning up with. That it's not shaykh, hayech, how could it be a person learning Madikin and tilting simultaneously? Okay, Rabbi said, tonight we learned we recapped the Isra of Shemayate. We said that it's a loy pluk, and we learned that El Adam Choshev, first spoke about Shoyma works. We learned Adam Choshev is also permitted. Mishnah Berurah doesn't like Adam Choshev's heter, and he says that one should not rely on that. We also spoke about a great fire that would be also, and Shoyma won't work. We spoke about Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabon. Young children are allowed to learn Lo'erane because the fear of the Rebbe is constantly over them. And we said, Mishnah Berurah discusses that even if the Rebbe is not present, even then the Issa doesn't apply. We learned that a person is allowed to learn Bami Madlikin, Mishnayos and Bami Madlikin, Lo'erane, because he is not shy, it's not possible to learn. Mishnayos discussing the Issa and being over simultaneously. Good evening, Rabbi Isai. We continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.